The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
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 So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and airplanes and quarterbacks and all kinds of stuff. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Nick Sciarra joins us today. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at the producer Nick. And you can also text the show. You know the number for that. And it's a Thursday. We're almost to the weekend, and the world is going to start opening up a little bit. So maybe things will start trickling back to normal. What's going on, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
A lot of stuff today.
Okay, a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I've been a very busy work week. We've got some changes, and I'll go ahead and tell the people now. Our man Josh Jordan is going to take over as editor of SportsMap, effective immediately. And don't worry, they're not killing me off. I'm going to do some other stuff, including write more for the site. But we've got some other projects that I'm going to devote my time to, and I'll still be involved. But Josh is going to take it over, and the site will continue to kick ass because he's been a big part of it. And this was always the plan, and I'm happy because there's nobody else I would trust my baby to. So pretty excited about that. That became official today.
Excellent. Well, congratulations to Josh.
Yeah, he's done a great job, and
congratulations to you. Let's be honest.
Well, I mean, it was a team effort to build the thing. There's no question, but it's also been, you know, we've got it to a point now where, I mean, and from the beginning, and some of the stuff we were doing at the beginning, it was just, it was rough. But we got some good changes coming. I'll be writing more. Ken Hoffman's going to be writing for us more, so. Really going to focus on growing the written content quite a bit, and this is just a good step. And I'm proud of what we built, and I'm excited to see where he's going to take it. And you know, I think I've got another chapter in the story here outside the station before we're done. So you know, hopefully we'll have some announcements on that at some point. But for now, gives me a chance to write, which is, you know, what I do best. And can focus on that a little bit. And, you know, it's really cool to see how this site's grown in a year and a half, and what we've managed to turn it into. But that was always kind of my plan with it, was let's get it where we want it to be and then turn it over to somebody who's younger and smarter and can do even more.
So well, there you go. Now you've done it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm excited about that. I'm excited about some other things that I'll be working on. And, you know, just it's a little sad to leave your baby, but it's also in really good hands. So, you know, like I said, I'll still be involved. It's not like I'm dying or anything, but it's time for him to get an opportunity here. He's earned it. And if you don't know Josh, he does Moneyline with Jerry Bow on Sundays, and a very talented young man who works his ass off. And I know AJ and I always talk about having, you know, wanting people who are not bare minimum people, who basically work 9 to 5 and then do what they're supposed to and leave. That's not Josh. So can't wait to see what he does with it. And said I'm looking forward to writing more and doing more stuff like today, where I totally made up a World Cup tournament for the NBA and the NHL. So really, really brilliant stuff I'll be creating. But yeah, so that's. Basically been what I've been working on for the last couple of days, is getting that transition set up. And you know, it's a really cool thing. It really is, to see people rewarded for doing a great job. And that's where we are. So your buddy Brandon Cooks did his press conference today.
Yeah, he's wanted.
Did you?
That's all that matters. If you're traded three times, it means that you're in high demand.
Well, my big concern is his love affair with the mysterious Jack Easterby. There was a question about that, and like he rambled on for a good 45 seconds about how great Jack Easterby is. So,
well, I mean, have you heard anybody say not nice things about Jack Easterby?
Well, I haven't heard anybody say anything because nobody knows who he is.
He's a mysterious dude.
He is. He's a complete mystery. But the other kind of Texans thing I wanted to get out of the way, did you see Deshaun when he was asked his two favorite teammates who he responded with?
I did see that. And I don't know that anyone should be surprised by his answer. And listen, the other thing is, I mean, Deshaun's had he hasn't been, I don't want to say he's been like a bad sport about anything that's gone on. I think he's kind of done things, he's handled things the right way, but he's also kind of, he's thrown shade without outright saying things. So for him to name two guys that are no longer here, and apparently two guys that Bill O'Brien kind of ushered out the door, I think is kind of telling.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious though. It feels like subtweeting a little bit.
It does. That's like what I'm saying. It's like it's without being nasty, but still getting his point across.
Yeah, I think he's made his point. You know, and it's kind of like, all right, dude. Yeah, I'd like to hear something about how you're ready for the season or something, as opposed to every time you talk, it's, oh, well, these are my favorite guys, or this happened. And, yeah, I think eventually it's going to turn into a bad look. I don't think he's there yet, but I kind of felt like I kind of felt today like, okay, we get it. You're not happy. Maybe it'd be better if you just came out and said it. I don't know. But,
well, I mean, they asked him the question. He answered the question. I think that he handled himself okay. It's just the answer itself is what it is. It's a list of dudes that are not here because of Bill O'Brien.
Well, you're supposed to be the quarterback and the leader of the team.
What is he supposed to say? It's the favorite teammates I've had. Oh, it's definitely Nick Martin and Whitney Mercilus. And that stupid kicker they gave a bunch of money to. I mean, it's at some point someone asks you a question. Don't we want these guys to tell the truth, or do you want them to toe the company line and say my favorite teammate is whoever happens to be to the right and left of me on any given game? I don't want that.
We know he's telling the truth though? That's the thing. How do we know he's just not? This is not just another subtle dig.
Maybe it is, but I mean the Hopkins thing. I don't think is. I don't think that's a. I don't think he had to make that up. I mean, I think it was pretty well known across the league that that those two guys were pretty close. I mean, they played college ball together. They had a relationship. It wasn't. I don't think it was a big surprise that that's one of the names he mentioned.
No, not at all. I just think when you throw Tyrann Mathieu in there, who also kind of was not happy with Bill O'Brien when he left. Now you're. You could have easily just said, look, DeAndre has been my favorite player to play with, and I'm going to miss him. And, yeah, we had this whole relationship and just left it at that. But I don't know, man.
I think you should have thrown Dwayne Brown in there, too.
Or Jadeveon.
Yeah, Clowney. That would have been a good one.
Basically, Martinez Rankin.
Yeah.
Could have used him.
Love that guy.
Yeah, if he'd just gone down the list of everybody O'Brien's traded, I think that would have been funny. I don't know. I guess I'm getting a little tired of his act. I'm already tired of O'Brien's, and I wouldn't blame anybody for being pissed off at that guy. But it's like, okay, man, come on, just whatever. Not that it matters. We're not going to have football this year anyway, so hopefully, by the time we get to games, he won't be pissed off anymore. Who knows?
Right.
And I'm sure when he gets his nice big contract, he'll feel better. But I've said this before. I think I would let him play it out this year if I'm the Texans. And if I were him, I might be okay with that because you know, then next year you're going to make, what, $15 million? You get franchised a couple times. You know, maybe you pull a Kirk Cousins if you really want out of here that bad.
Maybe so.
But I don't know. All right.
I hope that he earns the right to do it. I hope that he is so good that, you know, they've got real tough decisions to make with him.
Yeah, I hope he has a Patrick Mahomes season.
Yeah.
And
I don't think he will, but I hope he does.
Why, you don't think Bill O'Brien can run an Andy Reid type offense?
No, I don't.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, that's just me throwing shade, though.
What gives you, I mean, what gives you that indication? I mean, the 6 years that he's supposed to have been an offensive genius?
Yeah, something like that. I keep waiting.
It's all those top 10 offenses he's had, right? And trading your best weapon, you know, that's...
Keep doing that.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, other than trading Deshaun at this point, what else can he do to tear things up? All right, let's take a quick break.
He's going to cut Tunsil before the first week.
Oh, man. That would be freaking awesome in so many ways.
You know, I'm doing what's in the best interest of the team, and a video surfaced of this guy in a gas mask in college smoking marijuana. I just saw it for the first time, and I thought, you know what, we got to do something about this. So we cut him. That's best for the team. TEAM, capital. Bill, that video's been there for like 5 years. Listen, I just saw it. All right.
I just got this internet thing, and I saw it on YouTube, which, you know, somebody introduced me to this week when we were doing the draft, and now I know all about it, so goodbye. All right, quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And so I have a question for both you guys. If, let's say you're a pilot, and you've been flying for a while, and you accidentally cross the runway while a plane's landing, and, you know, because you misheard something, and before that, you landed a plane on a taxiway at an airport, or maybe you made an emergency landing on a golf course and was hospitalized.
I've seen this movie with Denzel.
This Harrison Ford did yet another one. I mean, it was like a year ago, right, that he landed on the taxiway?
And yeah, he's like, not a very good pilot.
At some point, do you think somebody ought to tell him, hey, buddy, enough already?
I picture Harrison Ford kind of like, and this reference may be, you may be too old for this, Fred, but Nick will get it. It's like SpongeBob trying to go to driving school. And, you know, he keeps trying to take the test, and some disaster happens every time he gets behind the wheel of this airplane. I imagine that's what Harrison Ford is like. Every time they're like, oh, it's time to renew your license, Mr. Ford. And he's like, do you know who I am? I flew the Millennium Falcon. And then they're like, well, you still have to take the test. And then he lands on a golf course. That's what I feel like is happening here.
I'm very familiar with SpongeBob. I had kids.
Okay.
And SpongeBob was very popular. But for them, my son loved it. You know,
historically bad driver, though.
Yeah. honestly, at some point, dude, you know what? I should have, if we'd had a Deadpool this year, I guarantee I'm taking him. Because sooner or later, he's going to crash one of these things. It's just a matter of time. See, the Bengals are letting go of Andy Dalton officially.
Yeah, not much surprise there. And, you know, he will either end up in Jacksonville with a chance to be a starter, or he will latch on as a backup somewhere. And I think either one of those situations is probably solid for him.
Can I throw another team in the mix as a possibility, sure. Why not the Patriots?
Because, like I said, I don't think the Patriots are interested in bringing in somebody like that. I mean, maybe they'd bring him in as a backup, but I really think they want to find the quarterback of the future. They're not playing for right now, and I don't think that Andy Dalton would make them any better right now than they are. Maybe you can answer this, Fred. You answer your own question here. But would you rather see what you have in Jared Stidham, knowing what Andy Dalton's ceiling is? Because we all know what Andy Dalton's ceiling is. At least with Jared Stidham, there's like this unknown of what he could be.
Yeah, but, I mean, I would bring him in as a backup, though, just because if Jared Stidham sucks, at least I know Andy Dalton has started in the league and can win you a few games.
If Jared Stidham sucks, I don't want to win any games.
Yeah, but I don't buy that from. There's almost no way in my mind that Bill Belichick is just going to say, "Oh, let's punt on the season." I think he's too competitive. He's got too big of an ego. I don't think there's any way in hell that the Patriots are really looking at it like that.
I think he sees that Kansas City Chiefs team right now, and he knows his team on their best day is not beating that team. So I don't know. I think he's smarter than what you're giving him credit for. I mean, yeah, is he proud and stubborn? Sure. But I don't know if it goes to that extent.
Oh, I'm not saying he's not smart, but I also think he believes, you know, he'll probably be the first one to tell you. In fact, he did in one of his interviews. He went 11-5 with Matt Castle. I mean, I think he believes that they can win football games. I don't know if he believes they're a Super Bowl contender, but I mean, it's hard to tell a guy that he's not, because I mean, he has won so many. And I think Andy Dalton could give you more than what Tom Brady did last year, frankly. I mean, it's not like Brady had a very good year.
No, he didn't, but it's just there's just no weapons there. And we saw what Andy Dalton is with no weapons. He's just not very good. I don't know. I mean, I see your point. And if I was Bill Belichick and I thought that I could beat the – like Andy Dalton was somehow going to make me better than the Chiefs or the Ravens, I'd consider it. I don't think – A, I don't think he believes that. B, I don't think Andy Dalton is capable of that. The roster just isn't very good in New England.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just like trying to tell – you think Bill O'Brien doesn't think he's got a Super Bowl contender? I mean, I think it's the same kind of competitiveness. The difference is Belichick actually has had teams where he can win the Super Bowl. That there have been a few of those teams that you looked at and say, you know, this isn't the most talented Patriots team.
But those teams always had Tom Brady.
They did, but
– And Andy you know, Dalton is not Tom Brady. Andy Dalton's not even a bad Tom Brady.
No, but – Andy Dalton at his best is what Brady was last year.
But, and I mean, how far removed are we, do you think, from Andy Dalton's best?
Oh, that's a fair question. I mean, I don't know. That's been such a crap situation to be in. Now, maybe he's been part of the reason why it's a crap situation.
Because last year when Tom Brady was – I mean, he had a 53.7 QBR, which is, I mean, the worst that Tom Brady's had, I think, in his career. Andy Dalton had a 40.1. Andy Dalton, his QBR last year was sandwiched in between Gardner Minshew and Mitch Trubisky. That's where Andy Dalton was last year.
What are you saying? That's
you know exactly what I'm saying.
That's two starting quarterbacks in the league, AJ.
The only qualifying players that Andy Dalton finished ahead of in QBR were Mitch Trubisky, Kyle Allen, who was the guy fumbling the ball around Carolina last year, and Mason Rudolph. That's it.
Let's not disrespect Kyle Allen. Come on.
I mean, there's a reason why the Bengals
beat your Texans.
That's true. There's a reason why the Bengals were obsessed with getting Joe Burrow, because Andy Dalton. Oh, well, he's a trash can at this point.
There's no question that they were going for a quarterback the whole time, and this was always going to happen. But, I mean, that's also, I mean, a lot of your concerns about Joe Burrow are fair, because what the hell kind of situation is he walking into?
Oh, yeah. I agree.
I can't imagine that Belichick wouldn't find ways to use Andy Dalton that would make him better than Brian Hoyer.
But you know what, Fred? Take a look at the Bengals roster minus quarterback and the Patriots roster minus quarterback. It's not wild you know, it's not wild to say that they're close.
Yeah, but coaching makes a little bit of a difference.
Coaching does make a little bit of a difference. But if you're that good of a coach, do you really need Andy Dalton to get you there then?
Well, I mean, the difference between him and Brian Hoyer is probably not that much if that's what you think. But I still would rather have him than Brian Hoyer. How's that?
Oh, that's fair. I would too. But I think Belichick and I feel the same way. I've talked to him a couple times. We both feel it's in his best interest to see what he's got with Jared Stidham.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. But Texter makes a real good point. The problem is players and coaches don't think like fans. No coach or player thinks they can't beat another team. I'm sure there are, you know, there's certain teams that probably feel like, yeah, we got no shot. But for the most part, you know, you look at a team like the Patriots, they're not going to go in thinking, oh, we don't have enough talent. I can't see Bill Belichick thinking that way. I think he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. Most of the time he is. And I think he's going to find ways to be clever and win football games. And I'm not ready to write them off just yet. But, I mean, as a Super Bowl contender, yes. As a playoff-type team, I mean, it's not like that division scares the hell out of you. I mean,
right.
It's not the dreaded AFC South, AJ.
No, you're right.
Somebody says, I think Belichick will trade all those picks he's hoarded for the Clemson kid. Good luck with that. I don't see, unless it's something weird, like a team that's got a really good quarterback who is out for the entire season, I would be shocked if that number one pick gets traded next year.
I would too.
Trevor Lawrence is at least going to be one of the best prospects at the position since Andrew Luck. I think teams are going to go out of their way to try to get him. And if you have a team with a young quarterback and like the Jaguars, to me, okay, let's throw Gardner Minshew out there and get rid of everybody. I don't think there's a horde of draft picks you could trade them that would get them to give up Trevor Lawrence if they had the number one pick.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. And now what would be interesting is if the Bengals suck again and wind up with the number one pick.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. Then what happens?
I mean, then they have to consider that maybe they blew it with Joe Burrow.
Well, unless it's like an injury thing.
Yeah.
And maybe they start off 1-0 and he looks great and then blows out his knee in game two and he's done for the year.
So he Deshaun'd it.
Yeah, pretty much. Then you probably feel like, I still think we got the guy. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I love this kid as a prospect. It'd be hard for me to pass on him. But, you know, they like Joe Burrow. Somebody asked, if there's no season, do the Bengals have the number one pick again? I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, we talked about that a little while ago. I don't think anybody knows. I don't think it's even probably been discussed.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they haven't gotten that far in their disaster planning. That, oh, well, let's plan for no season. Here's what the draft will be. But, I mean, I think there'll be some games at some point. And they may be in the spring. But, you know, I think there'll be games at some point. All right. We are going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and college football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713 says, can't wait for O'Brien to take picks for the next couple of drafts that may be postponed. Or trade picks, yeah. That would be an O'Brien thing. And somebody else says, if there's no NFL season, there's probably no college season and no draft. I disagree. There would be some kind of draft because you have guys who are eligible. And, even you know, they may sit out a year, and that's going to make it even more difficult to judge guys, but you still don't think Trevor Lawrence is going number one. I mean, he'd be draft eligible because he'd be 3 years out of high school.
Yep.
So, same as if you're a redshirt sophomore. Jacob asks, can we talk Mike Tyson's comeback and ask AJ if he's interested in stepping in the ring with 53-year-old Tyson?
There's a simple answer to that. No.
I would say zero interest in that. Didn't we talk about how many of our show hosts it would take to fight Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
Or was that somebody else?
Somebody brought that up. Listen, I think multiple guys, and I said something about if somebody can grab onto his arms while I grab his leg, we've got a chance.
Right.
But in a boxing match, no. Zero chance. There's honestly professional boxers right now who in their minds, like some young 25-year-old kid who's like, you know, 8-0 as a boxer is like, you know what, I bet I could take him. And Mike Tyson will bludgeon that dude to death. There's still a certain amount of power in those hips and hands that you just cannot imitate. I don't know what he's going to have left against, like, you know, who he's going to try to compete against, but there's no average Joes who are going into a boxing ring with Mike Tyson and giving him business.
It's interesting. Did you see who was basically pleading with him not to do it? Is the guy who was successful at it, George Foreman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you know, Foreman came back and was really good for, you know, after a long layoff like that. And it was and part of it was the heavyweight division wasn't very good when he came back. And I think now you've got some legitimate guys, but yeah, you know, I don't know what he's. I mean, I'd be curious just because it's Tyson, but it's been 15 years. And, you know, I don't know what kind of shape. He certainly doesn't look like he'd obviously have to really start working out a lot. Because he sure doesn't look like he's anywhere close to boxing shape.
Yeah, but we saw him hitting pads. And by the way, hitting pads is different than hitting people. So it's one thing to look good on the pads on mitts, but to actually get in there with someone who's trying to hurt you too, it's a different animal.
But I do agree. I'm sure there's some guys out there he could beat who are professional boxers. So, but you know, I'm always curious about stuff like this. And there's really, Foreman is the only precedent for a guy who sat out that long and then came back and was able to win at a high level.
He's the only one who's been able to come back and win. There's plenty of guys who have done it. It just hasn't always been a wise decision.
Yeah, he came back and became the heavyweight champ, but he was only 45. And, you know, same kind of guy, though, a lot of punching power. And, you know, I don't know.
But a game that was less built on speed than what Tyson's was.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I guess you sit around long enough and you think, oh, I can do this again. But, you know. So he says, I think he's just training for an exhibition fight. Chavez Sr.'s had two exhibition fights recently. Maybe, but it's
maybe
Mike Tyson.
Someone who's going to throw him a couple shekels. And like I said, so we're going to have Jonathan Snowden on tomorrow, who wrote that book about Ken Shamrock. And
yeah.
I mean, it's very similar. Ken Shamrock is a dude who just did not know when to stop. And his body had long given up on him, but his brain kept telling him, I'm still a fighter. And he would find excuses. It'd be like, my body was right. I just made a mistake. And the mistake was just because of ring rust, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's always something. They always say, oh, well, if I just did this one thing just a little bit different, the whole result is different. The reality is, once your body gets to a certain age, it doesn't perform as well. That's it.
Josu says on his podcast, he stated that he lost the urge to beat a man to death. I don't know where this came from in regards to a comeback, but good luck. That was one thing about him. He made no bones about it. He was trying to kill whoever was in the ring with him. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's, I hate to say it, but I'd be curious to watch him fight.
Of course you would. I mean, because that's the other thing about that Shamrock book. Throughout his career, he could still pull ratings. He could still pull numbers. He was still pulling buys on pay-per-views when they knew he wouldn't be competitive in a fight. People would still put him on their card because people want to see what the guys that were great when they were growing up, how are they now? And everybody your age, my age, you know, honestly, probably up and up down till about maybe even Nick's age, those guys, all everybody's like, oh, I want to see what Tyson could do today. And it people just with that curiosity, even knowing he won't be nearly as good as he was. And let's face it, the last time we saw Mike Tyson, he didn't look great. So keep that in mind, but we would still pay to see it, almost certainly.
Well, and you know why? Part of it is we forgot how bad he looked 15 years ago because it's been 15 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think, oh, well, maybe there's something of the old Tyson left. And we thought that at the time, and there wasn't. But I would watch it just because it's Mike Tyson. It's still, you know, to me, he's still the biggest name in boxing, really, the generations you were talking about. I'm curious what Nick thinks about this.
I mean, I was just going to jump on and say it kind of reminds me, even though it's slightly different, the Hoist Gracie situation, AJ, where he was gone for like 11 years, and then he makes that comeback. Now, it's a little bit different because, you know, he didn't really lose, but he makes this big comeback 11 years out of being out of the UFC and then fights Matt Hughes and gets absolutely demolished. But as a guy who watched Hoist Gracie from the early years, I just wanted to know what he's been doing for 11 years.
Right, but you know what ends up happening is, you remember, were you at the fights here when Hoist Gracie fought Ken Shamrock?
I didn't attend it, no.
Oh, my God. That's what can happen. It can turn into a total, total mess. And then suddenly you kind of forget what a guy ever used to be. And, you know, I'll be honest. If Mike Tyson, if his losses, like the losses that he had, you know, down the stretch were to Lennox. Like if Lennox Lewis was his last loss, and that was in, what, 2002, okay? If that was the last we saw of him, I'd say, you know what, maybe there is something. But Mike Tyson's last two fights were against Danny Williams and Kevin McBride. Danny Williams, who was, I mean, a journeyman, a British journeyman, who 54-28 professional record, knocked Tyson out in four rounds. Kevin McBride, who it finished his career with a 35-10 record, and really, like, it went downhill in a hurry. Lost six of his last seven fights, and lost six of his last eight after the Tyson win. Tyson retired on the stool. He couldn't get up for the sixth round. So, though, that's the memories that we're left with. So it's hard for me to. And Jason Braddock asked, could he beat Anthony Joshua? Like he said, obviously Fury and Wilder beat him, but could he beat Joshua? I think Anthony Joshua at this point probably wrecks Mike Tyson, as long as Anthony Joshua is serious and training. But, yeah, I think anyone who's above, you know, a certain level, if you're in the top 20% of professional boxers today, professional heavyweights, I think you're probably going to beat Tyson.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way he could compete with really any of the top three, but you're right. But I'm sure they could find somebody that, you know, would be a tomato can and we'd still pay for it.
Yeah.
And I would. I just to see what's there. And I'm sure he'd be old and slow and, you know, just sort of staggering around the ring and hopefully wouldn't, you know, Kimbo slice it. But I'd still just be curious just because of what he used to be.
That's the nature of fight sports, man. When like we want to see our old heroes lace them up one more time to see what they can do. And then more often than not, and trust me, I've done this with Fedor Emelianenko many times. I said, okay, yeah. God, maybe he'll do it this time. And then he just gets bludgeoned and you're like, oh, please don't ever do it again. Chuck Liddell, maybe even a bigger example, a dude who in his brain, and a lot of it is money. These guys want money.
Yeah,
and you know Mike Tyson's got some business. He wants some notoriety. Like he wants people to talk about him again, which makes sense. And he's a guy. If he fought, there'd be a massive buzz. But like Chuck Liddell, physically has no business letting anyone punch him anymore. I mean, it just shouldn't happen. But as long as there's some sadistic dude willing to pay him money to go in there and try it, yeah, he'll probably do it
Yeah, I know I would be disappointed, but yeah, and the Liddell one's a really good example because, you know, at the end it's like, oh, it's Chuck Liddell. I can't, you know, I'm gonna watch because it's Chuck Liddell, but it's not really Chuck Liddell anymore. It's a name, and you know, we see that in a lot of sports. It's like people, you know, always bring up these guys that, oh man, I want to see him play again. It's like, yeah. I don't think Michael Jordan trotting out there right now would be the Michael Jordan you'd want to remember. But, you know, but people would be into it because, you know, the name still carries something. All right. Somebody says we pay to watch any sporting events these days, Fred.
That's true.
Yeah, that's probably fair. All right. We are going to take a very quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy Thursday. And we'll just remind you tomorrow that it'll be 10 years of the Blitz, so get your favorite alcohol that you've been saving for a special occasion and have it during the show with us. I've been saving a Kentucky Habit. I think that's going to be my my drink of choice tomorrow.
Perfect. You know, Jason Braddock says, would you guys watch a 55-year-old Bernard Hopkins versus a 51-year-old Roy Jones Jr.? And the difference with that versus what we're talking about here, and I said I'd watch it for free. If it was on, you know, on free TV, yeah, I'd watch that. The difference, though, is those guys never went away. Okay? So you remember, it was maybe 2 years ago, those little consoles came out that were basically miniature Nintendos, and they had a bunch of the games preloaded on them?
Yeah.
You remember how popular those were? And they were just selling out everywhere. Everybody, they couldn't keep them on the shelves. The reason why? Nostalgia. People were like, oh, I wonder what it'd be. I remember those games from when I was a kid. I want to try that again. If those games had always been available, like if Nintendo had been selling games this whole time, that wouldn't have sold out. That wouldn't have gone wild because we wouldn't have missed it. You know, there's better games now that we can play. The only reason people bought that thing was because it reminded them of a different era.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. Bernard Hopkins versus Roy Jones is like, that's like you just haven't bought a PlayStation 4 and you're still playing on a PS2 and you're playing the same old games. It's a lot different than someone who hasn't had a PS2 in 15 years and they do a re-release of your favorite games. It's just a different thing altogether, and there's a different interest level.
If Roy Jones had retired and Bernard Hopkins had retired before we saw them fight as old men.
Yeah, if they'd retired before, like at 40, or when Tyson retired at 38.
And you were going to bring them both back now, I think there would be a buzz.
There would be, but we've seen them the whole time. They've never gone away.
Yeah, and
it's like if McRib was around every week, McRib wouldn't be a big deal when it showed up, okay? People go buy that disgusting McRib because, it's like McDonald's has figured out a way to make it seem like it's limited. Like, oh, we don't know when McRib's coming back. Better get McRib while you can. And people are like, oh, my God, I got to get that McRib. I haven't had that in forever. So, I mean, but with Roy Jones, I mean, Roy Jones and Bernard Hopkins are year-round McRib.
Well, and what's funny is you forget how great those guys were.
Yeah,
because
you do.
We've seen this for so long. Roy Jones was one of the most dominant fighters that I've seen for a long stretch there. And you don't think of him as that anymore. You think, oh, here's some guy who's going to fight on YouTube again.
Man, I wish that we were having Jonathan Snowden on today. We decided to wait till tomorrow because the book actually releases tomorrow. I had an advanced copy, but it's going to be available to everyone tomorrow. And I mean, there's so much of what we're talking about in that book. like so much of the way it plays into people's minds, and it plays into not just the fighters' minds, but the fight consumers' mind of what they want to see and why it's important for them to see these legendary fighters, even though we 100% know it's not going to be what we remember them as. And in fact, it could ruin what we remember them as. But we still want to see it. We're still fascinated by it as a society.
Well, and the worst one is when they show you just enough that you think, okay. I mean, maybe he can come back and improve on that. When you know they never do. I mean, they never come back and surprise you and say, oh, well, this guy's, he's back. But we could talk about it more tomorrow. I think it's an interesting topic. Hockley Dan says Bernard Hopkins is a more entertaining interview than a fighter now, in my opinion.
It's 100%. He's a great interview.
He's a weird interview, which makes it fun. So, 281 said, I had an idiot coworker tell me that I have more of a chance of being struck by lightning than getting the Rona. Says, that's a problem.
I don't think 60,000 people have died this year by lightning strike in the U.S.
You might want to ask Dr. Phil about that.
That's true.
Before you
get Dr. Phil back on, he'll let us know.
Yeah. No, it's 120,000. It says that's a problem. Some people out here don't think it's real. I know there's a lot of people who just feel like the whole thing's made up. I mean,
those people are called morons. Made up.
Especially early on, we kept getting asked, do you guys know anybody with it? Do you guys know anybody with it? Because I don't know anybody with it. And it's like, well, now I know some people with it. So, I still don't think it's as bad as, for most people, it's not that bad. But there are some bad cases for people who are already sick. And, and that's what you hear from a lot of healthcare workers that see it. And they say, whoa. And... yeah, but it's out there, and well, guess what? We'll find out because you're going to be getting back out in the world here pretty soon.
Yep.
Stuff's getting reopened, so really over the next couple weeks.
How long are you waiting to go out to eat?
I don't know yet.
Because I know some people who are like, I'll be there, opening night. I'll be there.
I don't feel like necessarily I'm ready to do that yet, but I think I'm going to be a little more cautious just because I'm an old,
right?
I'm probably going to wait a couple weeks.
I think most of the restaurants that are opening starting tomorrow are sort of high-end restaurants. So it's going to, if you're into fine dining, then you're going to have your chance, but I think that's for the most part what's starting up tomorrow.
But I kind of feel like I'm still going to get takeout. I'm enjoying that.
Yeah,
me
too.
Takeout a couple times this week, and it's fine. I think what worries me is, are people going to be wearing their masks, and are people going to be washing their hands? All the things that we worried about before, and that's That's what worries me. Somebody says Galveston Beach is completely open and pretty full. Everything feels normal here. Well, yeah, that's those beaches. Like we saw that in California. We've seen it in Florida. Man, as soon as they reopen the beaches, they're just packed with people. And I like the beach. I don't like it enough to be around a bunch of people right now. But all I would ask is, hey, whatever choice you make is your choice. If you're going to go out, though, just, try to wear the mask if you're around other people. And then, I know you can't eat with it, but get a bandana and slide your food or your drink underneath that.
Get a GIMP mask and unzip when it's time to eat.
I have got one of the masks I have on order coming. It's not a GIMP mask.
Damn it.
But... It's going to win the mask wars. I'll just tell you that. It was one of those purchases that. Just got a text from one of the poker rooms is back.
Oh really?
So, yep.
Which one?
11 a.m. tomorrow. Free Rolls.
Where is that?
I'm not sure. I'm on, you know, I'm on everybody's list. So,
oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know how I got on their. I'm pretty sure one of the other clubs sold them my phone number because I haven't been there. But it says they're opening tomorrow.
All right.
So I guess we're going to start seeing more than that. And that's why we chose to make this the last tournament.
So those guys could start getting back to business?
Yeah, because we figured that was going to happen. So, and if anybody knows about Prime, when they might be back, just let us know so we could tell the people. But yeah, so this will be your last chance to get in online and do it with us. So it says I-10 in Katy is where I'm told it is.
All right.
So yeah, there you go. It's all the steps are being made, and you know, we shall see. Again, that's another one I'm not really sure when I'm going to be ready to go back. Not just because, and not that I'm really worried about it. It's just I know how other people are, and you know, if they're not going to wear masks and they're going to cough all over me and not wash their hands, I don't want to be around you before anyway. And now I definitely don't. All right, let's take a quick break. Hour number one already in the books. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.